We're glad to present your speaker, Brother Guy N. Woods.
The proposition tonight, it is in harmony with the Scriptures for Churches of Christ to build and maintain benevolent organizations for the care of the needy, such as Bowles Home, Tipton Home, Tennessee Orphan Home, Child Haven, and other orphan homes and homes for the aged that are among us. The affirmative will be Brother Guy N. Woods. Brother Woods, stand please. And in the negative, Brother James Miller. The moderators for Brother Miller, Brother Bob Miller, Brother Marshall Patton, Brother Carol Putty. Each speaker will speak 20 minutes for three speeches until each have spoken there three times.
Brethren moderators, Brother Miller, and ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to say in the outset that I hope that Brother Miller will be duly impressed with the fact that he has the distinguished honor tonight to be debating with a man that is now a lieutenant colonel in the governor's staff in Alabama. Hold that business up over there so he can see.
I made one today, too.
Good. Wow. So that makes us even. Wonderful. I rejoice to see the fine audience here tonight, and I trust that we may be able to carry on the discussion in the same way that has thus far been true of all the debates that Brother Miller and I have had. I shall read the proposition, though I don't think it necessary for me to spend a lot of time here in definition of terms, since the issue seems to me to be very, very clear. It is in harmony with the Scriptures for Churches of Christ to build and maintain benevolent organizations for the care of the needy, such as Bowles Home, Tipton Home, Tennessee Orphan Home, Child Haven, and other orphan homes and homes for the aged that are among us. In harmony with the Scriptures, I mean simply that the Scriptures teach such. By Churches of Christ, I mean, of course, the congregations of the Lord's people. By build and maintain, I mean to provide the support for such is the definition of both terms, that is, one definition of each word involves such. A man may, for example, say he built a house on the lake, and yet he contracted the whole of it, but still he provided the money for it, and so it is correct to use the term in that sense. By benevolent organizations, I mean, of course, organizations engaged in benevolence for the care of the needy, and now identified as Bowles Home, Tipton Home, Tennessee Orphan Home, Child Haven, and other orphan homes and homes for the aged that are among us. That seems to me to be very clear, and if there is any matter about it that Brother Miller would like further elaboration, I shall be delighted to provide it. Now, to get right into the proposition quickly, and to the pointer up here, I should like for you to note the chart here that will set out the argument that we're making and the one that I've made in all the debates that I've had on this, and the argument that is absolutely unanswerable. An argument that Brother Miller himself concedes at times and then denies at others. First of all, note that on this side here I have the church, on the other side the home, and then the question raised, what organization? Now, obviously, what organization to provide the care for our homeless and needy children? You will observe here that in the church we have elders. It is the obligation of the church to preach the gospel. It is the obligation of the church to edify saints and to provide for the needy. Now, Brother Miller and I might argue a bit about what passages of Scripture establish that obligation, but we won't argue about the obligation, because he's on record, both on tape and in his articles, as affirming that the church does have this obligation. Now, let's raise the question, what are the obligations involved in child care? Well, among other things, to provide food, to furnish shelter, and to give supervision, to administer discipline, to provide secular education, to provide vocational training, to supply medical care, and to provide social activities and physical development
and recreational affairs.
Now, I need not point out to this intelligent audience, nor to Brother Miller, that these are not functions of the church. I have argued, and I should like to emphasize again, that for every legitimate activity of the church, by which I mean every proper church function, there is a designated functionary, by which I mean that in the church, every obligation that it has somebody designated to carry out that obligation. Now, we've seen the obligation. We're saying that we agree that there is such. We've observed that we agree that the church has the obligation, that is, to provide the support for such. But now our argument is this, that the church is not a home. It was not set up to perform the functions of a home. It cannot perform the functions of a home. Were it to attempt to perform the functions of the home, it would be just as wrong as it would be for the home to try to perform the functions of the church. You can't turn a home into a church. You can't turn a church into a home. Therefore, the obligations of these institutions must therefore remain separate. Now let's see what the possibilities are with reference to the home. The home has either parents, that is natural parents, or substitute parents, such as guardians. There is a family relationship. There is an inhabited dwelling, but the dwelling itself is not, of course, the home in the full sense of the word, though by metonymy it is sometimes put for such. There is a such thing as a child care obligatory upon it. In fact, Thayer says that the word nature there suggests that idea. And, of course, the training that's involved in such. And in Psalm 68:6, it is said that God set up the solitary in families. That is, it's God's way of taking care of the needy to put them in families. Now, my argument is simply this, friends, that every child has or is entitled to have a home. Sometimes it loses its home through no fault of its own. But then it is possible for a substitute home, a restored home. It matters not with me what he calls it, just so he recognizes that it's possible to reconstruct or reestablish and again provide, not all perhaps, but at least some of the functions of the original home, and that such the child is entitled to. And since the Bible teaches the obligation of the church to provide such, and since these provisions include things the church can't do, then it follows that the home is the institution that is to do it. Now about that, we shall speak more in detail in just a moment. Now let us see the areas of agreement here. We agree that there's an obligation. We agree that the church cannot, at least part of the time we do, when he's on one side of this issue, we agree that the church cannot perform these functions. We agree that the home can. Now, Brother Miller does not object to the obligation. He doesn't deny the obligations. He even concedes that the home is the institution, at least part of the time, that the institution is the home that provides the actual function. But the difference, apparently, is that he sees, or thinks he sees, some sort of an institution between the church and the home. And I've represented it here, I trust correctly, from his viewpoint. This is his view here, that there is a board of some sort that stands between the church and the home. In fact, he said that it couldn't be the home itself because it provides the home. Now, that's poor logic because Brother Miller provides a home for his wife and son. Well, that doesn't mean that he's not a part of it himself. And so his logic there is, of course, defective. But at any rate, that's his contention, that there is something between. Now, Brother Miller, if you'll just tell us how to get that out, then we'll all be happy. We'll all be united. We agree that there's an obligation. We agree who it is that's to perform it, at least part of the time. Now the question is, how can we do it? Actually, what we're doing is what he would have to describe. Now here, for example, is the foster home. Is there anything between the church that supports the foster home and the home?
Not a thing on earth.
Because the guardians of the foster home are part of the home. In like manner, friends, we have the church supporting the orphan home. And so far as the Board of Trustees is concerned, that's simply a legal aspect necessary, specified by the state law. That you cannot, for example, now I just affirm positively that in Alabama, you cannot establish a child care institution without having trustees. But then a church cannot own property either without having trustees. So he doesn't object to trustees. Now, the only issue, it appears to me tonight, is this. Brother Miller sees something between the church and the home. I maintain that that's an imaginary difficulty, but about that, more in detail. Now, that, friends, is the argument that I have made and will continue to make because it's the truth. And I have some questions here which I wish to give him and which will pinpoint the issue tonight. Number one, what scripture authorizes you as an individual to practice institutionalism through a human institution in benevolence? Give the scripture. Number two, if, as you say, Acts 6, 1 through 3 is a pattern for benevolent work and shows that the church is the only institution on earth that is authorized by God thus to function, and these are his words, end of quotation, is this also a pattern for church kitchens, church dinners, and the like? Number three, if, as you argue, Acts 6, 1-3 is a pattern for caring for widows and shows that the church is the only institution on earth, and I'm quoting him now, that is authorized by God thus to function, unquote, how can James 1:27, respecting care for the afflicted widow, be done, since you insist that James 1:27 involves an exclusive individual obligation? Number four, what is really your position on the institution ordained of God for child care, since you argue both sides of the matter? Is it the church or the home? Now he says one time that it's the church. For example, here, Acts 6, 1-3, I'm quoting Brother Miller, is a pattern for benevolent work and shows that the church is the only institution on earth that is authorized by God thus to function. End of the quotation. Now he says the church is the only one can do it. Yet, I quoted last night where he said on the tape in our debate here before that the proper way to do it was with the institution established in Genesis 2, and that the nearest we could get to that the better, with which of course I agree. But that's in conflict with this. One time he says it's the church and the church alone. Another time he says it's the home. Now, of course, he's hopelessly in conflict there, and we shall let him tell us which one of these is his view tonight. What is really your position on the institution ordained of God for child care, since you argue both sides of it? Is it the church or the home? Both or neither? State which and give scripture. Now, I trust that he will be fair enough with us to deal with that. Number five, is there any way, according to your view, whereby a child who loses both parents can become a part of a restored home organization? May such a child become a part of a home reestablished and ordained of God? Number six, in order to maintain the good works mentioned in Titus 3:14, whether such is individual or church action, must there be rule and oversight exercised? And then finally, if you, an individual, can support a human institution to do the work which you say God gave to the church to do in benevolence, can you, as an individual, support a church institution, or human institution, I should say, to do the work which God gave the church to do in evangelism? If not, why not? Now, you will remember that we quoted a statement from him from the tape of the debate they had with Brother G.K. Wallace, I believe, in Tampa, at least in Florida.
in which he addressed Brother Boyd,
superintendent of the Mount Dora home, who evidently was in the audience, and said that if they would cease accepting contributions from church treasuries, that he not only would not oppose the home, but he would encourage people to support it. Well, I saw that he was in a difficulty there, and that he would have to say that the home then is either a human or divine institution. And I really wondered whether or not he'd say that it automatically changed into a divine institution which he could then support. But to my amazement, his answer was that he could support it as an individual, but it was still a human institution. Well, that, of course, puts Miller both in conflict with his former position and with the argument that he's trying to make in this debate. One time, the church is the only institution on earth to do it. And the orphan homes are wrong because there are other institutions. Then he turns right around and says, no, we don't object to the other institution, provided it's not supported from the church treasury. But it's still a human institution. In what area? In the area of benevolence. But he says now that the church is all sufficient to accomplish the work, and that the work is that of the church, and that the church needs no other organization. But now he comes along and says that an individual may support an institution other than the church in benevolence. All right then. Now then, the Missionary Society is another institution, and certainly we'll agree it's a human one, that does the work of the church in evangelism. Now I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, if Brother Miller can support individually, in the field of benevolence, an institution that's human in origin, in his view, and set up to perform a work which he says God gave to the church alone, then why can't he support the Missionary Society individually? That is, provided it doesn't take funds out of the church treasury. Now, Brother Miller, I expect you to deal with that question because it's germane and pertinent to our issue here tonight. Now, I want to show you, friends, that Brother Miller is on both sides of the issue. And I have here a copy of a speech which he delivered at Franklin Road in Nashville. And the title of it is Divisions, Who is Responsible? On page 10 of this book, he says here, of this speech, he says here, I have debated nearly every verse in the New Testament. Well, that's quite a feat. I've had a lot of debates, but I never debate on nearly every verse in the Bible. That takes in a lot of territory. Among other things, Brother Miller's a very modest fellow because he didn't say he didn't claim to be a scholar. That reminds me of a Jamaican here sometime back down in the Caribbean who had had phenomenal success down there in baptizing people. And some brethren went down there from out in the mid-section of the country who were supporting the work to look into the man. And they said, to what do you attribute your great success? Well, he said, brethren, I just tell you. He said, in the first place, I'm a most powerful, eloquent speaker. And in the second place, I'm a very humble man. So I would say that Brother Miller exhibits both characteristics here in this statement. But now listen to what he says here. You can read it, that is, the New Testament, from now until the day you die. And you will not find a human institution doing the work of the church. But mind you, he argues at other times that it's the work of the church alone to provide benevolence. Listen now. Acts 6, 1-3 is a pattern. Now, it's not only an example that one could take along with other examples, but it's a pattern. Now, a pattern suggests the idea that it's a way which you must follow to the exclusion of all others. But he doesn't leave it at that. He says it's a pattern for benevolent work and shows that the church is the only institution on earth. The only one. What if it's the only one and there are not any more?
Well, then how on earth, then, can he come along and say that I agree with you, that the home in Genesis 2 is one of the finest ways by which to do it? But now, in his debate with Cook,
2 minutes.
3 minutes, yeah, 2 minutes. He had this to say, and I want you to show that in this now, Brother Miller was reasoning correctly. He was discussing the question of feet washing with this primitive Baptist preacher here. It's a debate that Brother Miller had some years ago. And he said here, we're to wash feet at the same place we relieve the afflicted. I cannot go into the home and take out what God relegated to the home and take it over and put it in the church. Well, I say that too. That's exactly our argument. And I would shake hands with Brother Miller on that. Yet he turns around here and says here that the church is the only institution on earth thus ordained to function. Now, friends, Brother Miller is in a helpless situation here on this matter. It's not because he's not a strong man. He is. It's simply because he's trying to sustain a position that's impossible to sustain. I want him to do his very best tonight. We'll see now what he has to say about this question. I thank you.